Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And here we go, Blackhawks Crazy Podcast back on the air here on WGNradio.com, high above the seventh floor in the Tribune Tower on the beautiful Mag Mile. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio, man to my right. Also from WGN Radio writes the Great Chelsea Blogger blog on our website, WGNradio.com. You'll see him out at the game, say hi, wave to him. Tell him he's good looking. His name's Scott King. Hello, sir.
Those are all good things to do. Not bad to start with a compliment when you meet somebody. How you doing? Now, did I get you sick last time? Were you sick at all?
No, I've actually, yeah, because last week, if you listened last week, you were
sounded terrible.
Doing so
yeah,
hot.
It sounded
yeah.
awful.
You could actually, you felt like you could get sick just listening through your headphones
right.
on the podcast. This week, okay. neither one of us are sick. I did not catch
anything. No, I'm almost pretty much entirely better. I'm still a little phlegmy. Got some phlegm. I don't think you'll hear it, though, this time.
And click. That's yeah. all that you see. You hear that click sound. That was everybody turning off
yeah,
the
Yeah, no one wants to hear about that on a hockey podcast, okay. so why would they listen?
Yeah. Right. So if you do see Scott King in the radio booth, right next to the radio booth in the press box at the United Center, don't even tell him. Yeah, even if you don't like the blog, just tell him he's good looking and then it'll be okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
You that's know, all we need.
Do a bro hug if you like that kind of thing.
You're not going to be at the United Center for a while, though.
February 18th, they return.
That's when the Blackhawks return. It's February 2nd today, Groundhog Day. 6 more weeks of winter, by the way, that damn
does that,
Groundhog.
Does that ever hold up? Does the Groundhog know. Ever correctly predict what happens? I think it's a bunch of hooey.
What bunch of what?
Hooey.
What is the, that's
never
my
heard,
phone going
never
off
heard,
as usual.
It agrees with me. You never yeah. heard a bunch of hooey before?
No, it's not.
Is Malarkey, it, nonsense.
It is a 1950s.
But Groundhog Day? Arguably Bill Murray's best movie.
Great
one of
movie.
The greatest movies ever made. One
filmed,
of my favorites.
Filmed
for sure.
right here in Woodstock.
That's right.
Woodstock, Illinois.
Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil.
Phil Connor.
But
great
but,
movie.
But yeah, the Blackhawks will not be back to the United Center until February 18th because they've got a 6-game road trip. Kicked it off on Tuesday against San Jose. Did not go their way. They lose 3-1. Then looking ahead here tonight, they have Arizona. If you're listening to this, I don't know when you're consuming this, but it is Thursday. So tonight they'll be taking on Arizona. They're on a current 3-game losing streak. And these games that they've been winning normally when they're down the stretch and they're losing and or tied late, they were able to pull those out in the
yeah.
beginning of the
and
year.
And now the
trend is reversed.
It's a tricky thing. It might be dangerous for them that we were talking before the show with our special guest, Jimmy Greenfield, who's shooting some video for us right now, and he's going to join us later.
He is. He's going to join us later to break down the NHL's greatest 100 list.
Yes, yeah, so I was going to bring this up later. Is he replacing me? Because he's doing video. He's commentating.
He's
writing on the wall. Here?
He's not as good looking, so that's why you get to stick around.
Oh.
Well, people are seeing.
Maybe
it
the
right now.
We'll put a picture of Jimmy up. Maybe the fans can vote. I don't know.
See now, people can wear that every single day. Basically, I wear my White Sox hat, so I'm wearing a White Sox hat during the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast.
But yeah, no, we were talking about before the show, and look, the trend used to be if the Hawks do end up having a close game and have to win it in the third, they usually win it. They're, what was that stat? 78-0-5 since the 2014-2015 season.
After
they're leading after two periods. So to see these third-period losses, one-goal games and collapses, things are trending downward, and it's a little dangerous.
They were the Mariano Rivera in that moment.
Yeah,
they
want to
close
use that,
every time.
Ahead. Right.
Every time. And it's just been weird lately. What do you think? What do you think's the difference?
I would have said Serena Williams. I think we'll get into it in a little bit in the fan questions. I think it's kind of the trend of what's been going wrong with the team in general. I think you're seeing some costly turnovers on defense. You're having trouble getting the puck to the forwards, and the forwards are having trouble winning battles in the neutral zone and beating guys in the neutral zone. So I think it's a lot. I think specifically you could point at the second line. You know,
where have they been?
They've been on vacation. I don't know if you knew that.
It's like a bale of hay goes down the ice when you see the second line get in there. It's very strange.
Yeah, look, specifically, since we're getting into the game, Anisimov hasn't scored in 11 games. Panarin hasn't scored in 9 games. Kane hasn't scored in 9 of his last 11 games. So you're talking about last year, not even arguably, definitely the best league, the best line in the league, best line in the game, and they're being shut down. They've been shut down for a lot of games now.
So last night, Q's challenges, thoughts, you. Scott King.
Well, look, I would love to see the stats. I searched for it a little bit, couldn't find it. How many challenges have the Blackhawks won? And it's impressive, and they're always willing to challenge. Challenges are kind of used like timeouts now. It's interesting to see how they've evolved in the game. But I think every team has a guy, a video coach probably, that watches video for every goal against to see if someone is offsides. And they get right in Q's ear or Kitchens, mm-hmm. and say, yeah, challenge that when that guy was offsides. And you know, it helped them start the game out right yesterday. It took away Marlowe's goal. His first would have been his first goal, took it away. So Slate's clean there, 0-0, but great challenge.
And the thing, it's like the opposite of Lovie Smith, if you're a Bears fan. During the Lovie Smith era, every challenge that he had never went well. Never went. He had the worst percentage ever. So, obviously, his video team not as good as the Blackhawks. See, John McDonough's got every tie tied off, as they say.
Now Lovie's with my Illini. Let's do it.
Oh, boy.
Let's keep recruiting.
Yeah, it's going to take
some
time.
It's going to take a while.
It's going to take at least 2-3 years, but he ain't going nowhere. I think he signed a 6-year deal, so you got plenty of time. So, Doug Wilson was honored, too. That was a pretty cool moment
last
night.
Very, very just. Very justly honored. 1,000 NHL games as a player and 1,000 games as a GM, and that's a lot of longevity for a GM, too. People forget what a good defenseman he was. Definitely one of the Hawks' best defensemen. He finished with 827 points, and that's not as a forward. That's as a defenseman.
That's impressive.
When a winger or a center gets 1,000 points, that you're getting close to Hall of Fame caliber there. He played from 77 to 93, mostly with the Hawks. Finished with a plus-minus rating of plus 53. So, yeah, he was one of the best to be on D for the Hawks. And that's cool. That's a cool stat, GM player.
So the Hawks, they lose Tuesday night to San Jose to start the six-game road trip. But the reason why they're out west is because originally L.A. was the host of the NHL All-Star Game, which was pretty eventful in some ways. In other ways, it didn't really live up to the hype of last year, at least in my opinion, because there was so much excitement going into last year because it was the first 3-on-3. You had so many different backstories going into it. This year, it was not as much pizzazz. As much hype, I guess you would say.
There wasn't as much John Scott. I
was waiting for the elephant was in the room. I was waiting for you to say.
Yeah, 6'8" elephant was in the room that will beat the crap out of you.
It was still fun.
You were missing him.
Him and Scott King. I don't know why I said it. Him and Patrick
Kane. We are friends.
Him and Patrick Kane when he dropped the gloves. That was like very memorable moment in Nashville last year. So
that was really cool Kane to do, I thought.
3-on-3 this year, the tourney, what'd you think?
Well, I think that's another thing that's evolved in the game now. I think look, it's enticing. It's entertaining. 3-on-3 more. You're seeing a lot more skill and a lot more tricks, if you will. I think people are definitely enjoying watching it. I don't think it was good for the Central to be eliminated so quickly and lose 10-3 to Pacific.
Blackhawks bowed out real early.
And why
the heck would you want to be a goalie in the NHL All-Star Game?
Oh, I don't think. Yeah, I think they take it as an honor, but also as a joke.
Yeah,
because
it's not.
Because look, Crawford gave up 5 goals, and then Dubnyk gets in there, gives up 5 also.
Yeah.
And they lose 10-3.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool to see all Hawks start for the Central team, though, in the starting lineup. You had Kane, Taves, Keith, and Crawford all on the ice together to start for the Central team. Nice little memory. Put it in your pipe and smoke it, because then they got smoked. You know?
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. And I felt like last year was a little more exciting.
The tournament overall, yeah.
Overall.
I think it's fun to watch. I think it's be good to get some more eyes on the game, and it makes the All-Stars a little more worth watching.
Well, it brings attention to the game, which is huge.
Yeah, it's more entertaining. Actually ran into Troy Murray over the weekend at Walgreens, and we were talking about 3-on-3, and he agreed that it's not really hockey, but it's something that people will enjoy and will draw more people to hockey. So it's interesting to hear his take on it.
Troy Murray, of course, the great Blackhawk, and also our color analyst here on WGNRadio.com alongside play-by-play man John Weideman. What was Troy Murray doing at a Walgreens? Did he have in his – I want to know what was in his cart.
What if I just grabbed his bag and looked into it? I wasn't too nosy. I didn't really – I don't know if he bought anything. Maybe he just likes going to Walgreens. I don't even know if he had a bag.
Well, did he have anything in his hands? Was there a bag? Was he pushing?
You're asking me to remember things. It's very cloudy.
What were you doing in Walgreens?
Probably getting cough or sick medicine.
Probably
cold medicine. I just said sick medicine. That's why I'm not a doctor. Probably getting some cold medicine for myself or my child.
There you go.
Yeah, but no. And look, they played. You know, they got smoked, but they played a tough team. They played Pacific. How good McDavid look? I mean, there was He was not overhyped.
He's so
quick. As a rookie or as a player now, he's not overhyped at all.
He's so fast.
He's much faster than I thought he was, and his hands are as good as I thought they were. And also on that team, you got Tarasenko and Kessler. So they played a tough team, and look, the Pacific went on to play the Metro in the finals for the tournament. And they lost to the Metro 4-3. Also good to see for people watching the All-Star game when you see a close game of skill like that. You know, you got on the Metro, you got Crosby and Ovechkin. How hard are those guys to play against?
Yeah.
On the same line, and they haven't really liked each other in the past. It's interesting to see them play together.
I know we want to wrap up things with the 100 greatest players of all time, the list coming up. But before we do that, and we're going to bring in our guy Jim Greenfield to help us break that down, I want to get your thoughts really quick because it came down yesterday morning. Ken Hitchcock. Everybody knew that he was going to be heading out at the end of the year. That was already on the table. His contract was up. Yeah. Mike Yeo was in the wings, going to take over.
He's stretching.
They already said he's the interim head coach.
Guys, whistle shines, yeah.
But they let Ken Hitchcock go early. And the eighth place in the West, it was just kind of surprised me.
It's a weird thing.
There was a lot of tension there anyway. And, you know, remember, he was on the chopping block even after making the playoffs. They bring him back for one more year.
I know they don't have the same success, but that's kind of like when Quenneville was on a chopping block. Like a guy who obviously shouldn't be being talked about that, okay, he's gone if things don't go well. But they knocked the Hawks out of the playoffs last year in the first round. They're a very good team. They're not showing that this year, but they were a very good team last year.
But then there was still the debate. Should they bring him back and all this? And then they're like, all right, well, he can retire after 1 year.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, there's no debate. The guy wears a sweatshirt that says hockey on it. There's no debate here. I mean, how do you fire a guy like that? But you have to... You're a GM. You have to send not just a message. You have to try to correct what's going on somehow. And he might have felt the only way, they might not have good prospects for a trade.
Just pull the trigger out of it.
Yeah, and they, you know, there's might be some guys that they don't want to deal, and I don't know much about their AHL team, but I think in maybe this time in the season, and he's going to leave anyways, I think that's something they felt they had to do.
And I like Mike Yeo, and he's a young guy. He's infamous now for his famous rant during practice and going off on everybody. But he's a young guy, former Wild head coach. He's obviously familiar with the Western Conference. So I think it's a good move for them overall. I'm just surprised that they pulled the trigger this early. I figured they would just let Hitchcock kind of go out on his own and finish out the year.
For sure. But you're not the only one. A lot of people are surprised.
They clearly think that, you know, not making the playoffs is a possibility, and that maybe a move would, you know, jumpstart them.
Yeah, I think it's definitely what it was.
It was funny because after they fired Mike Yeo, it jumpstart the Wild. And then they ended up playing pretty well after he got fired. So maybe they're thinking that same effect happens here in St. Louis. Top 100, the 100 greatest NHL players list that got unveiled over the NHL All-Star Weekend. Our man Jim Greenfield's going to come in here and give his thoughts on it as well. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
This thing on?
It's on now.
You're on. All right.
Jimmy, what's up?
Like, I'm the radio guy here. I should be able to know how to run the board, but apparently I don't.
Look, there's a lot. People have to know. This is our first guest, first time we've had video taken. There's a lot going on here, and it's awesome. It's all good for the show, and welcome, Jimmy.
I'm like the Bill Murray of your show.
Yeah.
He's the first guest for all the great talk shows.
Yes, exactly.
It's true.
And he comes back another, like, 20 times.
Right.
So it's good to know that you're in the building sometimes, because you'll be here a lot.
So for people that don't know who you are or what you do. Which is everybody.
He's the new assistant coach of the Blues.
Nobody knows. He kind of looks like Mike Yeo, by the way.
Good looking man.
I am famous for nothing.
I disagree.
I am the community manager at Chicago Now, and we host one of Scott's blogs, and that's why I met Scott years ago. And, so I've worked for the Tribune for a little over 20 years.
That's a long time.
Yes, and I would not be here doing the show, speaking with the great Mike Jacobs, if it wasn't for Jimmy. Jimmy, I learned how to write. And doing Chicago Now was the first thing I did as a writer. So
I actually used to do a little bit of blogging on Chicago Now myself. This was many years ago. It was called the Top 10 Chicago Sports Blog. And Olson ran it.
He's one of the originals.
And he's a buddy of mine. He was actually friends with my cousin, and it was called the Top 10 Chicago Sports Blog. And he would come. I think I wrote like two or three.
That's awesome.
I remember the one that stands out in my mind was the top 10 Chicago Bears wide receivers of the past 25 years. That was a weird list. When Curtis Conway is topping your list.
I'm sure it did really well. That's a good headline.
Yeah.
Bears fans.
It worked out. Yeah. So I did that for about a year. I think I did like three or four or something. Okay. I think I just gave them to him, and then he put them under his name. But really good guy, Matt.
Nice surprise. Things come full circle on the show here.
Chicago now is a good deal. Chicago now is a good deal. So we got a list to break down here. What stood out to you? What surprised you? Who got gypped? Who was maybe ranked a little bit too high? Let's start with you, Scotty.
Sure. Well, first, it was great to find out who Max Bentley was. I do cover the team for a few years now, and you learn new things sometimes. But, of course, Bobby Hall, of course, Stan Mikita. You're talking about two of the best guys to ever play the game. Tony Esposito, amazing goalie. Glenn Hall. It's interesting. A lot of people think Glenn Hall, when he was playing, was actually better than Tony Esposito. And Denny Savard deserves it, and always good to hear Chelios in the mix. One of the best born American players ever. And Bentley's in there, guy who played in the 40s and 50s. But where it gets interesting here, and a lot of people, there's a lot to talk about, and we'll break it down, is the current players. You have three current players. You have Kane, Taves, and Keith announced in there. And I think the absolute definite is Keith. I think what he's done as a defenseman is so hard. You're talking about two Norris trophies. You're talking about all his points. You're talking about the cups. And he's played longer. Kane and Taves, yeah, all that hardware is nice, but have they been playing long enough to make the list?
Well, I would say Keith and Kane are Kane's a definite for me.
Sure.
He's just been doing it. He has been doing it for a long time. The numbers are there. The talent is clearly there. I think he's an easy person to put on the list. Taves is a debate. And not because Taves isn't a great player, but because by definition, it's a list where you're talking about other players from other teams and generations. I've never seen Max Bentley play. I don't know. You can look him up in Hockey Reference and make an opinion on him, but who knows? But we've all seen Jonathan Taves play. Mm-hmm. We know the intangibles. We know the numbers. And yet he's part of the discussion. You look at the other great Hawks who aren't on the list, Marian Hossa, Jeremy Roenick, Steve Larmer. And, you judge Taves against those guys and wonder, is he for sure in front of all them?
The other thing here, if people haven't realized this, this isn't the best Hawks of all time. This is way harder to make this list, or it should be, than the Hall of Fame. You're talking about the 100 greatest players ever.
Right.
So which should be much harder to break into than the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and it's like you said, Marian Hossa, that was a little bit surprising to me too, because to me no doubt a Hall of Famer in my mind. And I know it's 100 and there's more than 100
exactly.
Hall of Famers and all that, but I thought that he was deserving to be on that list, no question.
Yeah, Jimmy thought so too. With those numbers, I think it's you can't even argue anymore he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I think he solidified that this year with his 500th goal. But that's certainly one you can argue is Hossa, and he obviously played a lot longer than Kane and Taves. But here, we've been throwing around Max Bentley's name. Let's get some of his stats in there. I looked up today. He was with the Hawks from 1940 to 1947. He was a center. Finished his career in 1954 with the Rangers. 544 points. So,
there you go.
I mean, totally a different era.
Sure.
I mean, the guys weren't wearing helmets another like 40 years when he was playing, you know? So,
right. You watched him skate back then, and it was like, a little dainty figure.
Probably like us out there. That's how the league looked back then.
Man.
Yeah.
The great one, obviously, on the list, but the reason I wanted to bring up Wayne Gretzky, he looked like he was having so much fun over the NHL All-Star weekend. He was like the highlight to me. I mean, there were so many great gifts. I mean, he's just such a good guy, too. I've had the chance to meet him in person for a couple of times or cover him a couple of times, different events when I was out in L.A., certain events that I covered that he was out there, and he's just a fun loving guy, and you couldn't ask for a better face or ambassador of the NHL ever.
And he looks like an accountant. He doesn't, I showed my son him, and I said that's Wayne Gretzky, and then I moved on. He goes, wait, go back, that's Wayne Gretzky.
How old's your son?
He's 10.
Okay,
and he's a hockey player. He loves him, and he's like, how could that be Wayne Gretzky? Look nothing like a hockey player.
Yeah. He looks so well manicured, like the trench coat, the suit. He totally looks like an accountant.
Well, we talked about it too a little bit last week, and anybody that's covered hockey, I covered the Anaheim Ducks for a couple of years before I moved back home here, and the hockey players, you see them in the street, you see them at the grocery store, you see them at Starbucks, they look like normal guys.
Yeah.
For the most part. You see Artemi Panarin in a Starbucks in jeans and a T-shirt, you're not going to – I mean, unless you're a hockey fan, Now, when you see a football player who's 6'6 and weighs 300, all right, you look at it like that guy must be an athlete or something. But Artemi Panarin walks in, he looks like a college kid.
What if you saw Panarin in a Panera, though? Would that be different? Because he's at home.
That is true.
He's at home base.
He'd have to go Bread Bowl, right? You got to go Bread Bowl.
I think you do
Panarin.
If you're him. If you're the bread man,
you have to go.
I think all he eats is bread.
That's why he gets all those cars. Why he's so fast and whipping around everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So his energy.
So what was there anyone that you thought that really was a head scratcher? Any of them?
No, not with those guys. And also the NHL, when they make a list like this, I think all the old time guys, and you know, even going as far back as Max Bentley, who I had not heard of, but maybe should have. And it seemed like they honored the right guys, but they're still. Everything's a marketing move with them. They still have to market and say, these guys are amazing that are playing right now.
Sure.
You know, with your Ovechkin and your Crosby and your Kane and Taves. And you know, there's not really a great argument to be made against Kane and Taves. What they've done is ridiculous. So
then there's a question of how much credit does a player get for simply winning a Stanley Cup?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, you can look to those Bulls teams and someone says, well, you know, so-and-so is a great player because he won three NBA titles. Well, you know, Brian Williams or whoever, you know, some of the, or Scott Williams won three NBA titles.
Yeah.
That doesn't make him great. So I'm hesitant to use simply the winning of a cup for certain players as evidence of their greatness.
But what about multiple? And what about when it's gotten with a cap, it's just gotten harder and harder.
Well, that's more on the GM than it is on the player. I mean, the players, do have to get used to playing with more players, you know, but I think that they've been doing that all their careers. They're used to playing with different players. You can, you know, you get someone, you throw them in the lineup, and it's like they've been playing together for 10 years.
What about Jonathan Toews, who's had 14 different line combinations this year?
Hey,
I mean,
I wonder this year, because people look at this year and say, oh man, he's not so good. He's only got 9 goals. He's not healthy. You know, this isn't Jonathan Toews at his best.
He'll tell you. He'll tell you who he is, but who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
No, you don't know if that back injury's lingering.
You don't know if there's another injury that's lingering
and
either.
Concussions. I mean, that's something that he's had.
They're a very tough thing.
He's had several of them now, and you wonder if that's starting to take a toll too, potentially. So
for sure.
It's, you never know. You never know. But it was a fun list to go over, and a few of the names. You know, you get to. You kind of look back and remember when they played. You know, you look at a Paul Coffey. You know, it's just some of these guys that I grew up with watching. I forgot about him. Or not forgot about him, but it's just kind of cool to go back into the memory bank and think of, like, wow, these guys were really impressive.
I'm sure they all loved it,
you know, Super Mario and all that stuff.
Yeah. So, Paul Coffey played, what, like 12 games with the Blackhawks?
Something like that.
He was there for a cup of coffee.
He was there
Thank
for
you.
A cup of coffee.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. Like Costanza going out of the hideout there. That's good stuff. But, no, there. I mean, and then, cool, like, Denny Savard getting in there was great. You know, I mean, Denny was a little bit before my time, but everybody knows the Spinnerama. You see all the highlights and such a great ambassador for the Blackhawks organization currently. And we actually had him on the Steve Cochran show earlier this week. He was talking about how he just loved it and the whole NHL All-Star weekend. He said, you know, playing with Kane a little bit, you know, you saw him get out there with Kane and, you know, sharpening the skates. There was a great video of him behind the scenes getting ready for all the festivities. It was just really cool.
All those guys loved it. You could tell.
And you know, it's like, this is Denny Savard. You know, and he's talking about this stuff like a kid in a candy store. And, you know, he just loved being honored being on this list. So it's a big deal to these guys.
They did right by all those
guys.
I'll
say it a million times. I've said it a million times on this podcast. I've told outside of this podcast that NHL players / just hockey players in general are by far the most humble athletes that I've ever dealt with.
Yeah.
And that's why to them it means something to be on something like this kind of list.
And you mentioned
like basketball players are a little bit different, football players are a little bit different, baseball players are crabby because they see 162 times a year. You know what I mean? NHL is just different. I know it's a long season, it's a long grind, but it's just a different mentality.
You know why it is? It's because they nap before games. They're relaxed.
They tell you how huge naps
they get home. Oh well, yeah.
They always talk about the naps. They always get them in.
Morning skate, nap, eat, back to the arena. That's pretty much it.
You know, you mentioned Savard, and I think he's a no brainer. And then Chelios is also on the list. And
he looks like he could still play.
Yeah, oh yeah,
sure.
Definitely
the fact
could.
That those two were traded for each other. I'm wondering how many on the top 100 list were traded for each other.
Wow. That should have been a story.
That could be. Maybe write that for the Chelsea
blog idea.
Yeah, there you go. I'm out
Always
of clock.
Thinking.
I'm out of clock.
Well, this was fun, guys. Should we put a
bow
on
Jimmy.
It?
Yeah, absolutely.
Glad
thanks for
here.
Dropping in and helping us out.
Jimmy Greenfield, our guy right there. And thanks for filming and your thoughts on the top 100 list. And we'll be back next week right here on WGNRadio.com. Again, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. You can follow Scott on Twitter at Scott King Media. I am at Jacobson Radio. Jimmy, you are at?
JC Green X and at Cubs No Hit Streak.
That's Cubs, a good Cubs account. Yeah,
we got to get that plug in there, too. You wrote a book about the Cubs.
I did.
How long ago was that?
I wrote it 5 years ago, but the third edition is coming out, which is updated with the World Series.
Full
there.
Title.
There you
What's
go.
The full title?
100 Things Cubs Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die.
It's there a good you, read.
There
People
you
should
go.
Check it out.
It's Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. We'll be back here next week. Blackhawks tonight on the road against Arizona, game two of a six-game road trip. Hopefully be able to snap that three-game losing streak. Until next week, we'll talk to you.